Okay, we're up to Daf Kuf Yadalam and Aleph in the Masech HaShabbos. So, minayin l'shinoi begodim etar. What do we know that changing clothes is a display of honor? Shenem or a pashat begodim, v'lvash begodim acherim. And the Kohen removes his garments and he puts on other clothing. Tana de Berbi Shmuel limedcha Torah derech eretz. The Torah was teaching you derech eretz. Begodim shebisho amter l'rabo. The clothing where you prepare food for your master, you don't wear to pour the wine. Right? Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Amar Yochanan, Genai hu l'tam chacham sheitzeb b'minalayim ha'metuloyim l'shuk. It's disgraceful for a Tam Chacham to go out in the marketplace with patched shoes. So we say, wait a second. Didn't he go out with it? No. That's okay. The only prohibited was a patch on top of a patch. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Amar Yochanan, Kol Tamat Chacham shenimtze revov al bigdo chayev miso. Any Torah scholar who has clothes on his clothes, a stain on it, or of some like a bug perhaps even, is going to be chai of misa. You're supposed to have clean clothing. Kol misanai ahuva mavis. Al tergim misanai ela masniai. Right? Rather than in terms of how you wear your clothes, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to you. The Gemara refers to the word benayin, which we know from the end of numerous mesechtos. But my benayin, what are benayin? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Elu Talmid Chachamim she'oskim b'binyano shel olam kol yameim. Those are Talmid Chachamim who are involved in building the world all the days of their life. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ezu Talmid Chacham. What's a Talmid Chacham she'machzirin lo b'vdiyos ayin? What's the level of Talmid Chacham to the level that you have to return a lost object just based on someone who identifies something visually? Meaning you have to return a lost object to a Talmid Chacham who claims it even if it's lacking any identifying mark. That applies when the Talmid Chacham has a reputation for honesty and for behaving like a Talmid Chacham in the way he carries himself. Right? So that's Mavidus of Zeha Makbet al Chalukah Lahovcho. That is one who makes sure that his upper clothing is turned inward. Okay, is turned inward. That means, so, meaning, some say that there's a connection between Rabbi Yochanan's statement and the previous halacha that a stain on one side of the Talmud Torah scholar garment is a chetzitza, and therefore Talmid Chachamim are careful to turn their clothes inside out to look at it and see if there's stains even on one side. That's the Marsha. And Zeh Machlukel Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ezu Talmid Chacham Shemanis Oparnis, someone who appoints as a leader on the community. Zeh Sholons Dover Lacha B'chol Makom Bor, is someone who could be asked matters of halacha on any topic and he can answer it, even on Maseches Kala. Even if you answer on Maseches Kala. Maseches Kala, what is referring to here? So some Gaonim say that Maseches Kala was the Masechta studied in the yeshiva during periods when people would gather in the great base medrash. Now, being able to answer a question on Kala is a machmer point. A Talmid Chacham who's asked about a Masechta being studied in the yeshiva will have to respond in front of all the Talmid Chacham gathered there. And therefore, meaning his answers have to really satisfy the greatest of the scholars of that generation. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ezu Talmid Chacham, who's considered a Talmid Chacham, Shemei Mitzvim Lasot Lo Melachto, where the people of the city have to do the work for him. Zeh Shemeniach Cheftzav Osa B'Cheftzav Shemayim. That's one who sets his own things aside and gets involved in Shemayim. Bahani Mili Lamitrach Barifte, and that applies only to that they have to push themselves to provide him with bread. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ezu Talmid Chacham, anytime you ask a halacha, anywhere he is, and he says it. Lamai Nafgimim, what's the Nafgimim? Lamanuya Parnasalat Sibor, to appoint him leader of the community. Now, Ibachada Masechta, if he's an expert in one Masechta, Basra, they appoint him the leader of the place. Ibakula Tane, Bereish Masif, to put him the head of Yeshiva. Next topic here in Amabez is Kehavina Bavav al Hamiraz in Babylonia. I said with regard to that which was taught in the Brisa, Yom Kippurim that falls out Erev Shabbos, lo hayutukin, they would not sound the shofar as they did every Friday to announce the Shabbos coming. And if Yom Kippur occurred at the conclusion of Shabbos, they wouldn't make the Havdalah at the end of the Shabbos and start with the Kiddush of Yom Kippur. Divrei HaKol, it's everyone agrees to that. He says, but however, when I went, Kisaliku Lahasim, Ashkeli Huda Breda Rabbi Shimon Pazi, Diyosef Gamar, Rabbi Akiva, he said it's Rabbi Akiva. Because if it was Rabbi Shmuel, it can't fit with him, and he explains why. The Gemara discussed the notion of Kohanim is reason him. The Kohanim are more vigilant, quicker to do things. Right, they're more, with a greater alacrity. Amar Rav Zeman, Amar Rav Amar Rav Amar Rav Huna, Yom Kippurim that falls out on a Shabbos, Aser Ben Akivas Yarak, that's Aser in trimming vegetables. That's going to be Aser. You see, the idea here, the Chavim allowed you to trim vegetables in Yom Kippur from the late afternoon and onwards in preparation for the meal after Yom Kippur. But if it fell out on Shabbos, you would not be able to do it. Just a little background here on Nedarim u'Nedavos are offered on Yantif. A person can offer a korban on the Beis HaMikdash as a voluntary sacrifice, as it says in Vayikra Perek Aleph, Pasuk Beis. And voluntary korbanos can be olos, shlamim, or menachos. And when a person says, I pledge an oath, without singling out a specific animal, his pledge is called a neder. And when he then sets aside an animal with which to fulfill his pledge, and the animal gets lost or dies, he has to bring another in its place. Now if he says, this animal is an ola, his pledge is called an adava. And if the animal gets lost or dies, he has no obligation to bring another one, because it was specifically that one. There's a machlokas among the Tanayim as to whether voluntary sacrifices can be offered in Yontif. It's a machlokas in Beitza Yotesim Beis. And the Tanayim say that they can be offered, who say that they do offer, argue that since the parts of the Shalmei Nedava are eaten, the malachas necessary for offering them in Yontif are mutter, ochal nefesh. According to some, even Olas Nedava could be offered because the person offered them benefits from them in Yontif, therefore increasing kavod shamayim. And therefore slaughtering Olos falls into the category of Tok Shehutra Litzorach, Hutra Namish Olotzarach. The Tanayim say that they may not be offered Yontif. They hold that Shalmei Nedava cannot be offered, and certainly not Olos Nedava, one, because they're not considered Tzarech Hedjet at all. Korbanos are brought Tzarech Gavoa for Hashem, and the layman only receives a small share. Malachas that are performed solely Tzarech Gavoa are not going to be Mutter. Alternatively, the Pasuk says, V'chagosim, only Korbanos such as the Chagiga could be offered. The Chagiga has a set time which it could be offered. Gemara talks about Shvus Rechoka. The Chachamim don't override a Derabanan for a future need. For example, the blowing of a shofar Yom Kippur, normally prohibited in Derabanan, cannot be performed when Yom Kippur falls on a Friday to announce that Knivas Yerek is permitted in the afternoon. That announcement is not relevant this year since cooking the cut leaves it prohibited at nightfall, which is Shabbos. Okay, we're talking about a stain on the clothing of Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Yochanan said that a Talmud Chacham walks in public with a Ravav, a stain on his clothing, is Chayav Misa. Ravina says that he can't go out with a Ravad. The Gemara explains they do not argue. One refers to the Talmud Chacham's overgarment, the other refers to the shirt underneath. Now, what's the difference between a Ravav and a Ravad? And what's the difference between under and over? So Rashi says that a Ravav is a stain of oil or fat. Oil or fat is forbidden only on one's overgarment where it could be seen by all. Ravad is a stain of Shivcha Zera. Shivcha Zera is semen. A stain of Ravad is forbidden even on one's undergarment because it gives the impression of Shivcha Zera and is therefore a Gnai. Rabbeinu Chananel says Ravav refers to a stain of tar. And the reason Talmud Chacham may not walk up with a tar stain on his garment is because it causes people to stay away from him for fear that the tar in his clothing might touch and stain their clothes. Tar is forbidden even one on one's shirt beneath the overgarment for that reason. Ravad refers to blood, according to Rabbeinu Chananel. Talmud Chacham can't go out with a bloodstain because people look like kesem, bloodstain from a woman who was a nida. Yudal Rabbeis, Rav Shisha holds that the shofar is blown on Shabbos or a festival to indicate that something is forbidden today will be mutter tomorrow. And the Gemara says that according to Rav Shisha, when Yontif occurs on Motzei Shabbos, the shofar should be blown right after Shabbos to indicate that it's now mutter to shecht an animal. Now, why does the Gemara specifically mention Motzei Shabbos, which coincides with Yontif? The Gemara should ask that the shofar should be blown every Motzei Shabbos to indicate the malacha is no longer usser. That's the Ritva. So the Ritva says that the Gemara knows that there's no reason to blow the shofar simply to indicate that things that were usser until now have become mutter. Rather, the Gemara assumes that if something now becomes mutter, which is also mitzvah to do, then the shofar should be blown. On Yontif, shechting an animal is not only mutter, but it's a mitzvah as well. On a regular Yom Kippur, one is permitted to clip the leaves, Knivas Yerek, we said, of a detached vegetable towards the night in preparation for the meal that night. Rav Huna says that when Yom Kippur falls on a Shabbos, you can't clip the leaves off the vegetables. And the Gemara quotes a brisa, which seems to support that psak from a pasuk in the Torah. Rav Yochanan, however, says that one is mutter to clip the leaves of a vegetable in Yom Kippur that occurs on Shabbos. And the Gemara attempts to refute Rav Yochanan's opinion from the brisa. And the Gemara says that when brisa says that Knivas Yerek is usher on Yom Kippur that falls in Shabbos, it doesn't refer to clipping the leaves of a detached vegetable. It refers to the malach d'oraisa of cutting the vegetable from the ground, which is the malach of kotzer. And the Gemara explains that even though there's already a negative prohibition, lo tase, that forbids the malacha, the Brice teaches also a mitzvah ase that commands us to refrain from doing malacha on Shabbos. Now, according to the Gemara's answer, what does this mitzvah ase have to do with Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbos? The prohibition and mitzvah ase against doing malacha apply every Shabbos. So the Baal HaMor and the Ramban explain the Gemara is not explaining the Brice. The Brice indeed contradicts the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Rather, the Gemara here is merely answering how Rabbi Yochanan learned the pasuk that the Brice cites. So the pasuk itself will not be a contradiction of Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. And Rabbi Yochanan learns from this the iser asay against doing any malacha on Shabbos. Tosus understands the Gemara is indeed explaining the Braisa when it says Knivas Yerek mention of the Braisa, the malacha da Raisa. So how does then Tosus understand the Braisa? Maybe Tosus understands the Gemara, like Tosus Arosh, who says that when the Gemara says that the Braisa derives from the pasuk, the malacha is also forbidden due to mitzvah asay. as well as a lo tasei, it doesn't mean it's actually mitzvah asei deraisa from doing the malacha. Rather, the pasuk is merely an asmachta, a support for it. And the Rabbanu wanted to teach that when one clips the leaves off a detached vegetable Yom Kippur that happens on Shabbos, he should be careful to clip only the leaves and not to clip small pieces of vegetable. For that would be an issa deraisa of tochen.